It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters.
And we'll start with some comments on my interview with Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry.
Robert Siegel did a great job, writes Darsha Narvaez of Notre Dame, Indiana. He pressed Senator Kerry and asked many follow-up questions. It helped listeners learn more about what John Kerry really thinks.
Neil Custer of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, sent this. With his service on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, one would think that Senator Kerry could have more definitive ideas on the current situation in Iraq, as opposed to, I don't know, and you'll have to wait till I'm president. Mr. Siegel, you were the bright spot. You continually tried to get an actual answer, not gloomy criticism of every decision the president has ever made.
There were listeners that felt differently about the interview, including Edward Jacobson. He writes, I've been listening to ATC since 1973, and I can't remember a ruder, more aggressive, and pugnacious interview than the one Robert Siegel conducted with John Kerry. He hardly let the senator finish a sentence before interjecting. If the president accepts the invitation to appear on the program, I hope Mr. Siegel has the guts to be equally confrontational.
Well, on to response to our piece about Messianic Jews who believe Jesus is the Messiah.
Annette Ricks Nikolich of Fox River Grove, Illinois, writes, Thank you for being willing to discuss this extremely personal and turbulent topic. I think anyone who makes a deliberate spiritual change from the faith of their parents faces intense scrutiny, whether Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, or non-religious.
Stephanie Bernberg of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, took offense at the story and its timing.
She writes, These people represent a small cult of little importance in terms of numbers or influence. I hardly think the story merited the time spent, but to give this story prominence during the 10 most holy days of the Jewish year was an insult to all your Jewish listeners.
John Powell of Portland, Oregon, writes to point out an error in our story about damage from Hurricane Ivan. It is the intra-coastal waterway, which runs along the Gulf Coast between Texas and Florida, not the inter-coastal waterway, as we said.
Finally, these letters about our colleague Melissa Block's trip to the first day of Gross Anatomy Lab.
Jeanette Borst of Emporia, Kansas, writes, The remains of my husband's first wife were donated to our state university's medical school, and he has arranged to do the same with his remains. I'm contemplating doing so, too. However, the thought of either of us being called Reggie or Regina Mortis, as they were in the class you visited, or being referred to as a chuck roast or brisket, tells me the professor's message that these remains are truly a gift which must be treated with utmost respect is escaping these students.
The story hit a vein of nostalgia for fourth-year medical student Zachary Roberts. He writes, Hearing the quiver in some of the students' voices hinted at the complex aura of emotion in the room that first day. A disorienting mishmash of reverence for the gift we'd been given, hesitation to actually cut the skin of the human body before us, and later, the joy and excitement of exploring the workings of this truly wonderful machine.
We'd like to know what you think of our program, and you can write us at atc@npr.org. And don't forget to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.